This is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C. Will the United States force Israel into a ceasefire before they have significantly damaged Hamas? Two conflicting federal court decisions on Obamacare. What does that mean? And yet another IRS hearing. Do Lois Lerner's emails actually exist?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live.
I ask not only for your support, I ask for your moral stance. I ask you to support Israel's right to defend itself and not to sanctify the idea that these brutal terrorists can attack a beleaguered democracy, can rocket our cities, can target millions of our people, can hide among their civilians and get away with it. Because if they can, you're next.
Is it the opinion of the United States that there is restraint being shown by the Israeli army, that they are really working to try and get civilians out of harm's way? They're giving them advance warning?
As the president said yesterday, they do have a right to defend themselves. They have given us assurances that they are taking every step to protect civilians from casualties. The president also said yesterday that we have serious concerns about the growing number of Palestinian civilian deaths. And it is clear, I think, that while the Israelis have said they hold themselves to very high standards, and we certainly hold them to the same standards as well, I think probably they could take some greater steps, maybe could do a little bit more.
And what message does it send to Al-Qaeda, to Boko Haram, to Hezbollah, to ISIS? What does it send? What kind of message does it send? What kind of moral message does it send when Israel is being condemned for doing what any democracy would legitimately do to defend itself?
So they haven't shown enough restraint then?
Well, we do think that there could be, they could do a bit more, that they could maybe take some greater steps here. But again, we've been very clear, having said that, that Israel has a right to defend itself, that that's what they are doing in this case.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I ask you to stand with Israel because it is right. Because it is our right to defend ourselves, and it is our right to exercise that right.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulo.
Welcome to Jay Sekulo Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. We have conflicting decisions from federal courts of appeals. It happened while we were live on the broadcast yesterday when it comes to the Obamacare subsidies through the Affordable Care Act. And of course, this impacts most people who have got insurance through exchanges, either at the federal level, we're talking close to 5 million people, and then of course at our 6 million people at the state level as well. Specifically, the cases were about whether or not the subsidies received if you purchased a plan through a federal exchange, that's through things like healthcare.gov, because you are in a state that did not establish an exchange. And by the way, there's only a few states that did, 14 and the District of Columbia. So what does it mean when one court says, well, the law says you only get the subsidies if you purchase on a state exchange, 2-1, this you can't get federal subsidies. And then another court says 3-0, well, the purpose, the intent of the law was really that everyone gets an insurance subsidy, and the federal government was allowed to establish exchanges through the law, so that means you get the subsidies too. What happens next? Is it a fast track to the Supreme Court, or is it going to take a little bit more time? We'll talk about that today on Jay Sekulo Live. I was on Fox News earlier this morning talking about just that issue. If you may have caught that, you've got a little preview of what we'll be discussing later in the broadcast. Of course, the situation in Israel continues to unfold. The IRS situation, do Lois Lerner's emails exist or not? Did we get any answers from today's hearing on that? We'll talk about all of it today, and we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. You got a broad variety of topics to talk to us about today. I've got David French, senior counsel with the ACLJ, and Than Bennett, our director of government affairs, to keep us updated on all of these issues. Let me encourage you as well. We've got our matching challenge going on right now. Anything you donate online or by phone to the American Center for Law and Justice is doubled. You can do that via ACLJ.org or by calling 877-989-2255. A great time to donate to the ACLJ. And you can stand with Israel by adding your name to our petition. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or go to ACLJ.org.
Will not force us. Israel is under attack. Hamas terrorists, which avowed to destroy Israel, are launching rockets aimed at Israeli civilians, including women and children. By one account, 70% of Israel's population is in range of Hamas rocket attacks. Hamas's goal is to inflict severe civilian casualties and annihilate Israel. Israel is defending its citizens. Israel is now conducting a targeted military operation into Hamas strongholds in Gaza to shut down secret tunnels used by the terrorists and to destroy Hamas rockets. Now more than ever, it is critical to stand with Israel. The ACLJ has mobilized teams around the world to support and defend Israel as it defends its citizens. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you, it is a time to stand with Israel. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And take a stand with the people of Israel, because now, under significant pressure from people like Secretary of State John Kerry to back down, to agree to a ceasefire, and of course what we believe in, the Wall Street Journal editorial agreed today, is to let Israel decide when this operation is over. Let them decide when they have dismantled Hamas enough. But we know now the United States is over there pressuring Israel to stop, and we saw that in comments today from the U.S. State Department. Take a listen. This is the State Department spokesperson Marie Harf asked about, is Israel showing enough restraint? And now this is, again, an administration that keeps saying we stand with Israel, we stand with Israel. Take a listen, bite four.
So they haven't shown enough restraint then?
We do think that there could be, they could do a bit more, that they could maybe take some greater steps here. But again, we've been very clear, having said that, that Israel has a right to defend itself, that that's what they are doing in this case.
I want to go right to David French, the senior counsel with the ACLJ, but also a captain in the U.S. Army Reserve. Because, David, this idea, I know you've got a new piece going up very shortly on National Review, and it'll also be on ACLJ.org. But this idea that, they're not showing enough restraint, and the United States is giving a lecture to another country on military restraint, when, honestly, we've been under a lot of scrutiny internationally for their kind of decisions we've made military, especially when it comes to things like drone strikes.
The irony is unbelievable, because as she's saying those words, she knows that last Saturday and a week ago today, last Wednesday, we launched 2 drone strikes into civilian areas in Pakistan that killed a total of 26 people. There was no text message warning for that. There was no cell phone warning. There was no leaflet drop. We just struck. And we have a right to do that and should do that to take down al-Qaeda. And that was taking down terrorists who were not launching rockets into America, who were not digging tunnels into America. They were in Pakistan. And we have a right to do it as part of our national right to self-defense. And now to turn around and say to Israel that is sending warning text messages, dropping leaflets, putting troops in harm's way, making warning phone calls, that they should do more when Hamas is sending rockets into Israel, digging tunnels into Israel, that's astonishing. It's an astonishing statement. It's an objectively pro-Hamas statement.
Folks, this is why we've got to take a stand for Israel. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. 2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition to Stand With Israel online. Alvin calling in from California on line one. Alvin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jay. How you doing? You know what? One, it makes me angry. Israel is doing everything they can to protect themselves, and which they should, because there is not a nation in the world that would not defend themselves. How can you give warning from terrorists? They're not giving Israel warnings that they're shooting missiles. Thank God that Israel has a good missile defense program. You know, first, and what really pisses me off, do not put your hands on God's people. Israel is God's chosen nation.
Alvin, they're not going to listen to you on that. You know, they're going to say, they have a very different view of religion. But I think I want to go to your point because obviously agree with your theological point, but also your point about the warning, the idea that the Israelis are giving so much warning. I just got a video sent to us from our senior counsel for our ACLJ Jerusalem office, David Benjamin, who's also a lieutenant colonel in the IDF, about the bombing of what was called a hospital in Gaza. I put that in quotes, in air quotes, as I'm in the studio. And what does that mean? Well, they made sure the IDF verified that the hospital was completely vacated. So they verified that. And when they attacked it, because they suspect it was a military cache, you could see the videos online, you know, there were all these secondary explosions. That means that inside a hospital, Hamas was hiding rockets, explosives, weapons. And this is why, folks, again, why are we there, and I say we, the United States, overseas, trying to push Israel into a ceasefire against a terrorist group which hides their rockets in civilian hospitals? Call now if you want to stand with Israel, 877-989-2255. The pressure is getting great. That's 877-989-2255. Now, I want to go to Than Bennett because the IRS is back in the news. You had a situation where an IRS top, a deputy associate counsel at the IRS, gave testimony last week, now released by the House Oversight Committee, Chairman Issa's committee. And he gave testimony that opened the door to the potential of Lois Lerner's emails not being totally lost. He was asked, if you could ask one question, you stated at the time the document, that was the June 13th when the IRS told Congress that that they don't have Lois Lerner's emails, that they were destroyed. Is that still accurate? And he answered last week, so a month from that memo, after, by the way, you've had certifications of people to federal court in Washington, D.C., that in fact this is what they believed happened to these hard drives, that they were destroyed. The Deputy Associate Chief Counsel of the IRS answers, there's now an issue as to whether or not there is that all of the backup recovery tapes were destroyed on the six-month retention schedule. Question, so some of these backup tapes may still exist. I don't know whether they are or they aren't, but it's an issue that's being looked at. And Than, the IRS commissioner was back on Capitol Hill today. There's this whole question now about were Lois Lerner's emails now completely lost or not, or has the IRS again been caught telling Congress something that wasn't accurate?
Yeah, this official, Jordan, his name is Thomas Kane, and he testified behind closed doors with oversight investigators last Thursday. And his testimony is the entire reason that the IRS commissioner is before the committee again today. You outlined it very well. There were basically two revelations that came out of that testimony. Number one, that hard drive of Lois Lerner's very likely was recoverable. It maybe was only scratched, and they did not go to the links that was necessary to recover the data from it. And then the second point, the main question that was posed to the commissioner today was about, are you absolutely certain that the hard drive is gone? Was it absolutely shredded and recycled? The commissioner has consistently said that it was. Thomas Kane on Thursday suggested that that is an open question, despite the fact that the commissioner has repeatedly said again and again that it was indeed destroyed. And two quick things, Jordan. The testimony from the commissioner today, it tracked with what he said in February and March, that it had indeed been destroyed. He doubled down on that testimony. He also followed the lead of the ranking member Elijah Cummings and sort of took this self-victimization approach that said morale at the IRS is low because you have been targeting our agency. We have to keep reminding folks, Jordan, it was the IRS that did the targeting, and it was the American people that were the targeted.
Folks, understand what Than was saying there is that they may have been able to recover these emails in the first place, and it looks like they didn't take those steps. So, Thad, we were told about all. In fact, there were court affidavits filed last week about the extensive steps taken to recover these emails, and now it looks like that may not be true. Of course, these officials will go back and say, well, I was reporting what I knew. But ultimately, there's someone at the IRS who knows, because this lawyer, who's the associate deputy chief counsel, wouldn't be talking about this, wouldn't be bringing this up if it wasn't potentially going to come to light.
Yeah, at a bare minimum, Jordan, the IT experts at the IRS thought that this data could be recovered, and they recommended that an outside entity look at this hard drive to try to recover the data. The best excuse that the IRS commissioner has, and the one that he continues to use, is that he did not want to reveal to Congress that that was a possibility back in February because he did not have all of the information. Basically, he didn't want to say anything because he did not have everything at that point. He's just not being forthcoming.
And the problem is, then they told Congress we can't get these emails, but now and that they were destroyed. But now we're finding out that before the destruction, they could have been looked at by an outside group. And now, are they all destroyed? We don't know yet. So this is an ongoing, again, breathes new life into the IRS scandal. We'll continue to update you on it, folks, at ACLJ.org. And of course, continue to take your phone calls as well, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Actually, we got a call on the IRS, I think, and we're going to take more of your phone calls on Israel. We come back from this break. But John in Illinois on line three. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. Seemingly, people seem to overlook the IRS deal is all basically a civil rights issue, just as much as when, under President Johnson, the KKK members in the IRS were attacking the NAACP. We have everybody should be slaves to big government people trying to suppress the civil rights of the people who believe that.
Yeah, John, I mean, I cut you off, only we got about a minute left. I think your comparison's fair enough because in our case, there are constitutional violations alleged. So the allegations that our clients' First Amendment rights, as you're talking about civil rights, First Amendment rights to expression, freedom of speech, and assembly, that those were violated by these IRS officials. So we're on track with what you're saying, John. We're going to take more of your phone calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. And folks, we've got our matching challenge now. Anything you donate to the American Center for Law and Justice is doubled. You can make that donation at ACLJ.org. Stand with Israel. We're going to be talking Israel when we come back from the break. Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition for Israel online.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Israel is under attack. Hamas terrorists, which have vowed to destroy Israel, are launching rockets aimed at Israeli civilians, including women and children. By one account, 70% of Israel's population is in range of Hamas rocket attacks. Hamas's goal is to inflict severe civilian casualties and annihilate Israel. Israel is defending its citizens. Israel is now conducting a targeted military operation into Hamas strongholds in Gaza to shut down secret tunnels used by the terrorists and to destroy Hamas rockets. Now more than ever, it is critical to stand with Israel. The ACLJ has mobilized teams around the world to support and defend Israel as it defends its citizens. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Live, we are taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 1-800-684-3110. We talked to IRS. We're going to talk more Israel now, and we're going to get to your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Later in the broadcast, we're going to break down those Obamacare decisions for you. I did that on Fox News earlier today. That'll be posted online to aclj.org. We'll play some of that for you as well later in the broadcast. Back to the phones. We go Travis in Kentucky online too. Travis, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
First of all, I'm going to state a fact. The Christians in Syria support the Assad regime, and groups that monitor Christian persecution have always ranked the Assad regime one of the better regimes in the Middle East at protecting Christian freedom. That's just a fact. I'm not saying it's perfect, but that's a fact. Here's my question, though. Christians in Syria, like I said, who support the Assad regime itself, have been telling us for 3 years now that they've been fighting terrorists and that these terrorists are using civilians as human shields. Here's my question. Why should we doubt Assad and automatically buy into Israel's excuse?
Wait, but we don't doubt Assad. We have a deal right now with Assad on chemical weapons. I mean, it's got a situation there. I think, Travis, you're kind of conflating two issues where there's no good side. I'm not going to try and say that the Christian minority in Syria who has been more aligned with the Assad regime in the past, that's true, because it's protected that Christian minority and defend that their decisions to continue to support that regime. On the other hand, I'm not going to support ISIS. Remember, that's the Islamic State. That's who Assad's fighting. Now, on the one side, this is why the U.S. hasn't gotten more engaged in that issue. On the one side, you have Iranian-backed militias like Hezbollah fighting for Assad. On the other side, you have Al-Qaeda-affiliated militant groups. It's Shia versus Sunni. And Assad, because of his Alawite faith and the Christians there, who are considered to be different from mainstream Islam, and so they've been on one side. But you've got a Sunni group there who's crucifying people moving through. And to, I think, compare Assad to Israel is absurd. Assad is aligned with our enemies, and that's why it's a very different situation. Israel is aligned with us. They support U.S. interests. And the idea, Travis, I don't know how much more evidence you need about people hiding behind human shields and rockets. I mean, there are no flights from the U.S. going into Israel from U.S. air carriers and a few European air carriers now because of rockets fired by Hamas into a civilian airport. There are, again, video after video, image after image. It's not just words. You can go see it. I'm just a little confused about your point about this since it's such a different situation. I mean, to even compare those two shows kind of either insincerity or just incompetence when it comes to a very complex situations in the Middle East.
No, how can you compare those two? Well, first of all, Assad has been fighting Al-Qaeda and armed gangs and terrorists.
But he's not on our side. He's only been fighting Al-Qaeda since they took a fight to him. And that's because he's aligned with Iran, who's aligned with Hezbollah, who we're also fighting, and who also wants to see the destruction of the U.S. So, again, how are you comparing Assad in Syria to Israel?
Because terrorists are attacking Christians and attacking his government. He has a right to defend himself.
So you're just trying to defend the Assad regime? I mean, if that's what you're trying to do, listen, I think you're going to be in a lone boat, and that's because of his use of chemical weapons. He wasn't trying to minimize civilian casualties. He's gone out and done the opposite. He's targeted civilians. He is as bad as those terrorists. So it's a very different situation. It's a civil war that's happening in Syria. You're not going to compare those two issues, and no honest expert's going to give you any more time on any broadcast even on the other side of this issue, because you're talking about things that are just not, you're talking about apples and oranges. Very different situation. I'll go to David French, because David, I tried to let Travis talk. I was trying to figure out his point here, and I'm not sure if he was trying to defend the Assad regime, which is pretty rare, but also this idea that we can compare the two, Assad and Israel, it's just wrong.
I mean, look, the Assad regime is an Iranian client regime. Iran is the world's largest exporter of terror. It's the world's most powerful terrorist state, and the Assad regime is an Iranian client. It's an Iranian ally. And now Assad is also fighting Sunni rebels who are worse than al-Qaeda. So it's evil versus evil. And yes, I know that Assad is better to Christians than ISIS is, but that does not mean that Assad is a good guy. I mean, I'm not quite sure what his point was. This is a situation where you have two of the most evil forces on the planet, Iranian-backed terrorist regimes fighting Sunni radical terrorists, two evil forces fighting each other. There's no comparison to Israel and Hamas. Israel is a civilized society that respects the law, the rule of law, upholds the law of armed conflict, defends the rights of its citizens, defends the rights of all faiths, does not engage in terrorism. It makes no sense at all.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you, it's time to stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition to defend Israel's right to defend itself and to decide for on its own when they have significantly crippled Hamas enough to end their current operation, Operation Protective Edge. Call now if you want to add your name to that petition to President Obama and Secretary Kerry, as they have started the pressure on Israel to enter into a ceasefire. Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org. Let's go to Barbara in Minnesota on line 4. Barbara, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
First, God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Let's start with the fact that we have our vice president over there, and he's trying to say, oh, naughty, naughty guys, don't fight. Do you know that $1.8 billion is spent on the Gaza by the UN, and who is the major contributors to the UN? And also, I don't know the figure right now, because I was wondering how much foreign aid we spent to them. Do you know?
David, we're up to, what is it, $500 billion?
It's an average of about $500 million a year. More than $5 billion over 20 years, Jordan.
So that's how much. So half a billion dollars a year, Barbara.
Okay. Have you ever heard of hitting people in the pocketbook instead of bombing them? Why isn't that bimbo over there saying, you know what, we ain't going to give you no more money if you don't stop?
Well, because they're not going there. That's not their policy. That's not their policy. So, Barbara, that's not an option for Israel. It's not an option. And the United States, it's not. There have been laws tried to pass to prevent this money from flowing. They have used every loophole possible, every interpretation of the law possible. We'll talk about this more when we come back. We got another 30 minutes of the broadcast coming up. Remember, a lot to talk about today. We haven't gotten to the two Obamacare decisions out of the court. We'll get to that in the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. You can listen online for free at aclj.org or on Sirius XM. We'll take your phone calls. We've got a line open if you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. If you're on the line, hang on the line. Folks, if you want to stand with Israel, call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And if you can donate to us today, be part of our matching challenge. Anything you donate will effectively be doubled for us at the American Center for Law and Justice. You can make that donation online at aclj.org or by phone, 877-989-2255. We'll be back.
Israel is now conducting a targeted military operation into Hamas strongholds in Gaza to shut down secret tunnels used by the terrorists and to destroy Hamas rockets. Now more than ever, it is critical to stand with Israel. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Freedom.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Now, in the last segment of the broadcast today, we'll get into the dueling Obamacare decisions, so you don't want to miss that. I do want to play for you, though, if you're listening, saying, why are you guys talking about it? This is what the Obama administration is preparing to do, and I'll explain why it's significant. Bite 14.
What I do anticipate that the Department of Justice will do is they will ask for a ruling from the full D.C. Circuit. As you know, this was a decision that was issued just by three members of the D.C. Circuit, two of whom ruled against the federal government and one agreed with the government's position.
And that's that. Why it complicates things, because people wonder, okay, now you got two different circuit courts. That's called a split. Doesn't this go right to the Supreme Court? If they do the en banc appeal, which is what the White House press secretary, Josh Earnest, indicated, that would be appeal. It'd be the full 11 members of the D.C. Circuit. Seven of them are Democrat nominees, four Republican. Different from the case yesterday where two of the judges were Republican nominees and one Democrat nominee. So again, if the Obama administration were to prevail en banc, and depending on what happened in the Fourth Circuit, you may not have a split anymore. As of now, there are other cases like this moving through federal court, but you may not have a split on this right now, and so could potentially be less likely to go to the Supreme Court. Doesn't mean it couldn't, but could be less likely and maybe not as fast. So, of course, a lot of that is up in the air, depending on what parties decide to do, how the appeals play out, and we'll continue to talk about it and follow it on the broadcast and at ACLJ.org. Back to the phones we go. There's some calls about the IRS issue. We're going to talk Israel as well. I want to take those IRS calls, too. Gina in Missouri online, too. Gina, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks so much for staying on top of these issues. And I
Absolutely.
Apologize if this question's been asked before. I've not heard the answer. But being that Ms. Lerner's drive is missing and she has sent and received emails, is there not a way to find the computers that were the originators or the recipients of those emails?
Well, the question has been is who will they go to? So right now they've had this limited world of just IRS people. So the top people she would have corresponded with, that's how they've gotten some of the emails back, Gina. The question is, why don't they expand that? Because it's so easy to search for these emails, and you could at least get all of the government emails she was on. That still would not include, you know, necessarily all the emails that included people on the outside that we know she was communicating with some of these outside liberal groups about implementing a strategy like the targeting that occurred. But then the question is, the window or what they've used, this universe they've used, has been so far fairly small. So it's just IRS officials, and they have not gone so far outside of the universe.
Yeah, Gina's exactly right about how email works. And this just underscores the point, Jordan. If the Department of Justice were taking this investigation seriously, we would have most, if not all, of these emails already. Because even if the IRS somehow, if this wild story that they've told is really true and they do not have possession of these emails that are in question, they could have gone to the Federal Election Commission, to the people that we know Lois Lerner was talking about. They could have gotten those emails off of those servers. They could have done it in the same for other agencies of the federal government. The bottom line here is the IRS has not cooperated with this investigation, and the Department of Justice, Jordan, they haven't done any better. That's why we've called for an independent counsel outside of the Department of Justice to take over, and until that day happens, we're just going to get more runaround.
Folks, we are continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break. We'll talk more about the situation in Israel. If you're on the line, hang on the line. We'll get to those calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll also talk, I know some of you want to talk about the Obamacare decisions. We'll talk about that. I encourage you to take a stand for Israel. Call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. Add your name to our petition. That's 877-989-2255, or go to ACLJ.org and sign the petition online. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Now, we've also got our matching challenge right now. Anything you donate to us by phone or online is double the impact. So this is a great time. If you never donated to ACLJ before, you have, and you're thinking about doing it again, and you're able to, this is the time to do it. You can do it online at ACLJ.org or by phone, 877-989-2255.
Israel is under attack. Hamas terrorists, which have vowed to destroy Israel, are launching rockets aimed at Israeli civilians, including women and children. By one account, 70% of Israel's population is in range of Hamas rocket attacks. Hamas's goal is to inflict severe civilian casualties and annihilate Israel. Israel is defending its citizens. Israel is now conducting a targeted military operation into Hamas strongholds in Gaza to shut down secret tunnels used by the terrorists and to destroy Hamas rockets. Now more than ever, it is critical to stand with Israel. The ACLJ has mobilized teams around the world to support and defend Israel as it defends its citizens. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And back to the phones we go. A lot of calls about Israel. We'll go to those. I do want to take this phone call about Obamacare first because we haven't totally explained that situation. Line 3, Brian in Connecticut. Brian, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. The appeals court decision, they say that they should follow the intent of the subsidies, that it was for everyone. But on other things, the intent is not followed, such as from the beginning, the intent of marriage was a man and a woman. And Jefferson's letter about the separation of church and state, the intent of that is being interpreted exactly opposite right now. Just find it interesting that you can't have it both ways.
Well, and that's, you got two different courts, two different opinions on how, statutory interpretation. One looked to the plain letter text of the law that was passed, the Affordable Care Act, said you only get the subsidies if you purchase on state exchange. The other said it was vague, and they said it was vague not because of that section, but because other parts of the law allow for the creation of federal exchanges when states don't. I'll go to David Fridge because, David, though we'll talk about this more in the final segment of the broadcast, the idea here is, one, of course, the two different judicial philosophies at play and how that could potentially play at the Supreme Court. But two, is that there are, you know, we're getting there. It's the potential of Supreme Court review, but there's hurdles along this way.
Well, right. There's only right now a potential that the Supreme Court will intervene. If the D.C. Circuit takes this case en banc and reverses the panel, then you may not have a circuit split anymore, and the court may decline to review it. But you know what's important about these cases? This really goes to, do words mean what they say? I mean, traditionally, judges of whatever philosophy, when involving normal interpretation of statute lawsuits, will look first to the words of the statute, and only if those words are unclear will they pull in their philosophy of originalism or you name it. But if the words on the page are clear, most judges, liberal and conservative, traditionally just go with the words on the page. So the question here is going to be, as time goes by, is that going to still be a viable judicial philosophy in this country, that you just look to the words on the page? In this case, the words on the page are about as clear as you can possibly get, that there are subsidies only available for state for insurance purchased through state exchanges. Period. End of discussion.
So what do we know, folks? We know that this is not over. I mean, that's the absolute truth. Hey, this is a battle that continues. It took a blow. Obamacare took a blow yesterday. Got a win also in court, but that means the fight continues. Back to the phones we go. Catherine in New Jersey has been holding on line six. Catherine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, you're on.
If a person knows a crime is going to be committed and does not report it, they are complacent in the crime. If they are witnessing a crime and do not testify, they are also complacent in the crime. Why is nothing being done by the Palestinians against Hezbollah instead of participating in protecting them?
Sure, I think you mean there Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And there's I think, twofold. One, listen, Hamas has got the power. They've got the military might. They've got the guns. They've got the weapons. And then two, so for those who may be opposed, and certainly there are those. In fact, the majority of Gaza residents and polls that have been done are opposed to this idea of shooting rockets at Israel because they know about the consequences this will mean for the residents of Gaza. On the other hand, though, they elected Hamas. So, Catherine, I think you got those two dueling interests at play. On one hand, could those who oppose Hamas do much about it? Certainly, doesn't seem like there's people who are opposed enough willing to risk their life to do anything about it. And then second, the people there supported this government. Once you allow these kind of regimes in the door, get a foot in the door, which they got more than that, they got elected. It's very tough to get rid of them through normal means. They don't just go away. So the infighting within, I think, has prevented, Catherine, from us from seeing any kind of real unrest when it's pointed at Hamas. They actually use death of civilians to try to rally people behind their cause. And they use the suffering to try to rally people behind their cause. It's a control mechanism. Folks, it's just why. And Catherine, everything you're saying and everything everybody calls and says, it's so basic, it's so easy to understand. These are double war crimes, as Prime Minister Netanyahu called it, because not only are they targeting civilians, but they're also hiding behind civilians when they target those civilians. So it's a double war crime. They're targeting Israeli civilians while hiding behind Palestinian civilians. And it all seems basic. It all seems easy. It's kind of like the Obamacare case in the sense that you just read the basics of it, but it's never that clear. Whether you're talking about law in the United States and trying to interpret that, or even the laws of war and conflict, especially when Israel gets involved. I want to go back to the phones. Alan in New York on line four. Alan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
God bless you guys. Thank you for what you do. My comment is just simple that, the United States, as much as I love this country, has no right to tell Israel what to do. And for them to be as relatively safe as possible, they need to take back the rightful land of the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. And a twofold benefit of that would be that the Palestinians living there would see what all the other foreign nationals in Israel already know, that living under Israeli law, they have the same rights and responsibilities as Israelis, and it's 1,000 times different than Hamas, and hopefully they don't listen as much as it pains me to say this. The United States and takes out Hamas to the point where they're gone, because no nation has the right to be bombarded by missiles on a daily basis for years on end. No nation has that right.
Well, sure. I mean, I agree with you. I think the question is, does Israel want to go in and reoccupy the Gaza Strip? It's decisions that should be up to Israel, not up to the United States pressure. Israel's handling the situation as best they can, minimizing civilian casualties as best they can. And David, I go to you because of your military experience. Ultimately, it's up to Israel whether they want to try to take on that task of completely toppling Hamas and trying to reoccupy the Gaza Strip and be responsible for that or not. Is a question that they have to answer themselves. What our job is their ally, is to support them. And so long as what they're doing is to minimize civilian casualties, is not to stand in the way.
Israel, you said it well. This is up to Israel. Israel's military objectives are Israel's military objectives. Our role is not to second guess their acts of self-defense. They fight within the rules of the laws of armed conflict. They fight more humanely than we do. They put greater protections on civilian life than we do. And we fight with great respect for civilian life. And so for the United States, for the Obama administration to stand there in judgment of Israel's tactics, well, if he's going to apply those same standards to American troops, I shudder to think that more American troops would die if the Obama administration applied the same standards to our troops that it does to Israel. So it's completely unacceptable. We need to let Israel defend itself in the way that it sees fit, support them, and continue to uphold the standards of international law, which Hamas, not Israel, Hamas violates.
Folks, that is why we continue to stand with Israel. Call now to add your name to our petition, Standing with Israel, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Judy calling in from California on line one. Judy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I just wanted to make a comment to that lady who called in and told the listeners that it tells us in the Bible we should pray for our enemies and those who despitefully use us. The Bible also tells us, try your enemies, try the ones who say that they're of God, and see if they are telling the truth. Your announcements today say, hey, baby, they're kind of like offbeat. That's not who we want to pray for. So that's all I had to say.
Well, so you can pray for their hearts. You can pray for change. I mean, ultimately, you know, power of the gospel is how you change people who have these opinions, and to change those civilians within these territories, to change their hearts and minds. And they've been taught such extreme propaganda and hate, and to believe this hate. So that's where I think, you know, Judy, I think the point of that is, obviously that doesn't mean while you're doing that praying that you don't defend yourself, you don't fight for what's right, even if that means the use of force. There are just war theory. It's been developed through Christian thought over decades and decades, centuries, over when it is just to defend yourself, and it still complies with your Christian faith, where you're not violating the tenets of your faith to do that. There are obviously points in time, this being one of them, where you've got to fight back militarily. And that means people will be killed. But if you're standing up for what's right and you're trying to minimize those casualties of people who may be innocent, but they're in a place controlled by a regime, it's like the Nazis in Germany. Obviously, we were bombing Germany. People were getting killed who may not have even supported the Nazi regime. But you've got to take on the bigger picture, the greater good here. Folks, we've got to stand with Israel. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org and sign the petition for Israel online at ACLJ.org. And let me let you know, we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about the Obamacare decisions. I was on Fox News. We'll play some of that as well. The implications legally, and also for those who got insurance on the exchange. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Israel is under attack. Hamas terrorists, which have vowed to destroy Israel, are launching rockets aimed at Israeli civilians, including women and children. By one account, 70% of Israel's population is in range of Hamas rocket attacks. Hamas's goal is to inflict severe civilian casualties and annihilate Israel. Israel is defending its citizens. Israel is now conducting a targeted military operation into Hamas strongholds in Gaza to shut down secret tunnels used by the terrorists and to destroy Hamas rockets. Now more than ever, it is critical to stand with Israel. The ACLJ has mobilized teams around the world to support and defend Israel as it defends its citizens. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. I am going to play for you now an interview that Jordan did this morning on Fox News. He was on with Bill Hemmer explaining what these decisions yesterday from the two circuits, the Fourth Circuit and the D.C. Circuit, regarding these Obamacare premiums that were set up by the federal exchange, healthcare.gov, explaining what the two rulings mean, and then also the likelihood that this court, that this case will end up at the Supreme Court. And ultimately, if the ruling from the D.C. Circuit stands, what will that mean for the underlying law? Will it even be able to continue, or will it gut itself and will it fall in under its own weight? Jordan had the opportunity to go on Fox News with Bill Hemmer, talk about all of those questions, and explain the two court decisions that we got yesterday. I wanted you to have a chance to hear that interview. Let's go ahead and roll it now.
In the meantime, Martha, back to another one of our top stories this morning. Dueling court decisions that could ultimately spell the end of Obamacare. That's what some suggest, including Wyoming Senator John Barrasso, who we talked to last hour, on why he thinks the law is now in trouble.
But this law has been so unpopular around the country, 36 states said, no, we don't want to set up our own exchanges. And that's what made, I think, the administration to force the IRS to make a ruling to say, okay, you can give subsidies through the federal exchange as well.
Senator Barrasso is also a doctor. Jordan Sekulow is not a doctor, but he is the executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice. Dr. Mark Siegel is a professor of medicine at NYU Langone Medical Center and a member of our Fox News Medical A team. Gentlemen, good day to both of you. Jordan, I'm going to start with you. What's the famous line in the Rocky film? Ladies and gentlemen, we have a split decision because you had one court in Washington, another court in Richmond, only hours apart. What do you think, or how do you see this now measure up from a legal standpoint about the fate of Obamacare in this law?
Sure. Well, I mean, certainly the D.C. win for those of us who are opposed to Obamacare is a big victory, a 2-1 victory. The Fourth Circuit was a loss 3-0. And you look at the makeup of the courts there. You had two Republicans on the D.C. Circuit, Republican nominees, three Democrat nominees on the Fourth Circuit. Now, the question, Bill, is will we continue, as you said, to have a split? And that's because the Obama administration can appeal this in the D.C. court where they lost to an en banc panel. And that means all 11 judges of the D.C. Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. When you look at that breakdown, though this case there were two Republican, one Democrat nominee, the full court is seven Democrat nominees and four Republican nominees. Why is that significant? If that en banc panel were to say, you know what, we agree with the Fourth Circuit, this law is vague enough, so where these federal subsidies are okay, even though they're not specifically mentioned in Section 36B of the law, then there's not a split right now in the circuits, so the Supreme Court could still hear the case on appeal, but it's not as likely to.
I see. Okay, now, Senator Barrasso thinks there will be a high noon moment yet again at the Supreme Court. Do you see this as just a poorly written law, or do you see it as a typo, or do you see the intent of the law now being challenged?
Well, this would certainly, if the D.C. Circuit ruling stood, and so if that was what the Supreme Court ultimately, if they heard the case, decided, it would gut the law. It doesn't just gut the subsidies. It then would gut the individual mandate for people in 36 states, the majority of enrollees on healthcare.gov, and also the employer mandate, because without the individual mandate, without the subsidies, all of the percentages are off. Now, of course, what we know is this was a law that was rushed through, wasn't read clearly by Congress, and it comes down to statutory interpretation. If you read it, it says clearly you got to purchase on a state exchange to get these insurance subsidies. Now, the difference is, though, in other parts of the law, it allows for federal exchanges to be created when states, if states don't create exchanges. So it was an error. The question is, the way a judge looks at it, do they see it as an error that creates a part of the law being really, so it conflicts, it's illegal then, or is it vague? And what the liberal judges have said is it's still vague enough. And what more conservative judges have said is, the law is what the law is, and gotcha. We didn't write the law, we just interpret it.
All right, listen, I mean, that's to be determined by a higher power, and I don't have that law degree to do it today. Jordan, stand by one moment. What does it mean for the millions of Americans who are living in these 36 states that do have a state exchange?
Well, Bill, I'm not a lawyer either, but wording like an exchange established by the state, to me, that should worry every patient in the 36 states. And we're talking about 5 million patients right now, a lot more to come, who bought their insurance on the state exchange, who maybe were underemployed or unemployed, didn't qualify for Medicaid. They want an insurance they didn't have before. The only way they can afford the premium is with a subsidy, because HHS has said, on average, 90% of the people who are buying through the state exchanges are getting a subsidy. And you know what, Bill? The subsidy is 3/4 of the premium on average. So a person out there who's working as a custodian or as a teacher or as a truck driver or in a gas station or isn't employed at all, many of our viewers out there couldn't afford this insurance if they didn't have this subsidy. And I would be worried if I were them right now, because the law clearly says an exchange established by the state. So I'm worried for America's patients who are already having trouble with Obamacare.
What you're also questioning is, if you could turn back the clock 4 years, which we cannot do, you would find you're arguing that the law is too expensive.
Because it provides for a product that covers too much. I love preventive medicine, but if you ask insurance companies to cover everything, they're going to charge high premiums that people that don't have a lot of money cannot afford without federal subsidies. So there we go with entitlement again. Federal government has to pour out billions and billions and billions of dollars to hold the rear end up of this law, which couldn't stand on its own. We need a smaller product that would cover catastrophic.
The only way you're going to get that is if the Supreme Court throws it out and says, you know, that the court in D.C. was right, and that you cannot use these subsidies across the country.
That's right. And that's for lawyers to decide whether this is going to get to the Supreme Court. But the wording of that law, to me, looks like they didn't provide for this.
Jordan, final word. Will there be a high noon moment at the Supreme Court maybe a year from now?
It's possible, and here's why, Bill, not just because of these two cases, but because in each of these cases with conflicting decisions, they both said that people have standing. So these people who are eligible to receive the subsidies and employers who would then be subject to the mandate because of these subsidies in the 36 states where they're running through the federal exchange have standing in federal court. This may be the tip of the iceberg to these lawsuits.
Okay,
we may see a flood of lawsuits.
You're hedging. Is it a yes or no? High noon moment.
I think that we could get there, but the en banc panel makes me nervous to say that we're actually going to get all the way to the Supreme Court.
We should get there. This should go to the Supreme Court.
Thank you, Mark.
I agree with
Jordan. See you guys later, okay? Many thanks.
Again, folks, that was Jordan on Fox News with Bill Hemmer. We will keep you posted on those two cases. But as we close the broadcast today, I just want to make one final point on these two cases. Yes, the fate of Obamacare rides on them. But, folks, there is also a much more fundamental point that exists here. Our way of government in the United States of America depends on a rule of law that is written by a legislative branch that is elected by the people. Folks, what we have in these cases is a dispute between the legislative branch that you all elected and an army of unelected bureaucrats that have rewritten that law to the tune of hundreds of thousands of pages since it was enacted. We warned you that this would happen. It is indeed coming to fruition. If the D.C. Circuit Court decision does not stand, it will be a fundamental change in how we write law in the United States of America. We cannot allow that to happen. If you want to stand with us in the work of the ACLJ, this is a very important time to do it. We have a matching challenge going on. So if you want to help our fight against Obamacare, if you want to aid in our litigation against the IRS and their illegal targeting of conservative groups across the country, if you can help us financially, your gift will be doubled. A $50 gift becomes $100. A $100 gift becomes $200. You can do it a couple of ways. The easiest way is online at ACLJ.org. You can also do it by calling 877-989-2255. But as we close the broadcast today, if you can help the work of the ACLJ, go to aclj.org and contribute online.
Israel is now conducting a targeted military operation into Hamas strongholds in Gaza to shut down secret tunnels used by the terrorists and to destroy Hamas rockets. Now more than ever, it is critical to stand with Israel. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.